It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, baseball fans? It's the Who's On First Baseball Podcast brought to you by the Coach's Corner Sports Network for Wednesday night, October 25th, 2023. Anyway, it's a lot of fun being here. Season 6, Episode 16, the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, my buddy, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. We'll be going at this all season. Little rocky start to begin the show because, you know, someone had to get married. I had to go visit family. So, you know, but we've been consistent now from here on out. And what better way? We got two shows left. We got right now the World Series preview. And of course, we'll wrap it up with our take on the season next year. But joining me now, as always, on the Coach's Corner hot seat is the baseball fanatic himself, Kyle Lawson. What's up, buddy? We're here. It's two shows to go. And, you know, it's a lot of fun, but somebody's got to win the World Series. I don't think anybody who thought these two teams would win it.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, the new playoff format, I absolutely love it. And I mean, two really compelling championship series. We're going to break it all down tonight. I'm still in shock. Two game sevens, and I love both of them.
Yeah, we got to go back to our predictions. But before I do that, just so you know,
yeah,
Quarter Sports Network has four shows, three live, one podcast. Of course, we'll kick it off. We are the podcast, the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with Carl DeMasi and Kyle Lawson, brought to you by John Henderson, Coaches Corner Sports Network. And don't forget the three live Wednesday night, 6 to 7. We got Rubbin' and Grubbin' with the Atlanta man, Brandon Bain, of course, the OG of this whole sports network, the man who put this together, Lawrence Bennett. Got to thank him for letting us do this. And, of course, my show every Saturday morning, the Carl DeMasi Sports Report, 9 o'clock till about 10:30. All things sports related to the Savannah, Georgia area. And then, of course, once a year, first week of April, the Masters, the 19th hole with the Herb Brothers. A little adultish, but go check it out on YouTube. You figure it out for yourself. Five straight days of talking golf. Pretty impressive. And, of course, the podcast, which you're listening tonight. All right, what we're going to do here, we're only going to play three innings tonight because the Braves are done. The Bananas are done. We know about the Banana Tour. Go get your tickets online. Go to savannahbananas.org or .com.net, whatever it may be. Check it out. You have to enter the raffle to get Savannah Banana tickets next year on the road. Hopefully you can get them for Savannah. They're only playing 22 games in Savannah. All right? And all the baseball players are done. So we're going to go from here. Inning number one, we're going to break down the ALCS, the NLCS, the championship series. And then we're going to come back in inning number two, talk about the World Series. And people aren't serious because they didn't expect the Rangers or the Diamondbacks to be there. And, of course, inning number three, trivia time. I still got a one-game lead, 6-5-4. That's right. Six wins for the coach, five for the fanatic, and four ties, two games to go. Can I hold on and win for the first time in six seasons? And I'll own that white flag with the blue W in the front lawn. I'll take a picture of my buddy Kyle that I do have a white flag with a W. All right, buddy, here we go. Inning number one. Let's go around the horn. Let's break down, of course, the American League Champions Series. And, of course, the National League Champion Series. All right, in the American League Championship Series, who would have thunk that the Texas Rangers would win this whole thing? And who would have thought in the NLCS that the Arizona Diamondbacks would win this? Buster only said, hey, whoever wins the Philadelphia Brave Series, the Division Series, is going to win the whole thing. But let's start off. What went wrong with the Astros, buddy?
Yeah, I got to tell you, pretty interesting. I mean, the Rangers got unbelievable support from up and down that lineup. And, I mean, Adolis Garcia, he wins the ALCS MVP. I mean, he has that monster game, two home runs, five RBIs. He had four hits. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then getting contributions up and down that lineup, I mean, with guys like Josh Young and rookie, you know, Evan Carter. Both these guys are rookies. You know, they've just been dominant. And, honestly, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out exactly where it went wrong, you know, for Houston, really. I mean, that's just it. I mean, they were absolutely, after a 0-2 hole, they were on an absolute heater after that. And I mean, from really, like, games four and five, it wasn't even close. you know, to go ahead and, yeah, it was not close. They were dominating, and I figured, okay, here comes Altuve and the Astros. Altuve hits another postseason bomb, and, of course, you get the contributions from, you know, Michael Brantley and Alex Bregman. But, I mean, absolute domination from the Rangers, 9-2 and 11-4 versus Houston. And really, I think it comes down to, I mean, I don't know how much stock you want to put into it. Rangers have been absolute road warriors. I mean, this postseason, they're 8-0 versus 1-3 at home. I don't know how much stock you put into it, but I guarantee you it factored in key big hits from up and down that lineup. The offense for the Rangers absolutely decimated the battle-tested lineup for the Astros.
I mean, I picked the Astros. I figured they had more experience. This is the first time Texas has been in the World Series since 2011. I mean, so they haven't been a team that's been in the mix, but really impressive. No. I thought Houston was going to win this. I thought they had the more power, the better pitching, and it just turns out that you know, Verlander goes home, and Scherzer is still pitching.
Yeah, Scherzer is still going, and I mean, it's crazy to think. I mean, Max factored in a little bit in this series, but I think the big keys, you know, with the starting pitching for the Rangers, you got Jordan Montgomery, who they pick up from St. Louis in their fire sale. Thank goodness that happened. And Nathan Eovaldi. Those were the key pitchers, really. And, I mean, they go up against Houston. I mean, you know what you're getting. You got a bad start out of Verlander, but then you also got a dominant start, you know, from the journeyman after he comes back from signing that contract with the Mets. But, I mean, really – Texas just outlasted them. I really don't know any other way to put it other than that's baseball, but, I mean, that's what happened.
You know, Houston thought they had the last laugh when they won the division on the last day of the season.
But that was wild.
Look who's going to the World Series, okay? And you know, and it just so happens it's a team from Texas, but not the team I thought. You did pick Texas, though.
I thought they were going to take it in six. I really did. And honestly, I mean, after the Rangers jumped out, you know, to that, you know, 2-0 lead, I figured, okay, they're going to make a game out of this. I mean, I figured they're going to make a series out of this, referring to the Astros. But they found a way to outlast them. And, I mean, they got contributions from up and down that lineup. I've said it three times already. But ultimately, Adolis Garcia takes home that ALCS MVP, and they find a way to outlast the Houston Astros. And Dusty is heading off into the sunset. Dusty Baker has announced that he's going to retire from baseball, you know, after this season. I mean, heck of a career, managed a number of different clubs. Finally got his ring last year with the Astros. And, yeah, I know he was trying to get back for one more go at it. But Rangers had other ideas, and Dusty's heading off into the sunset.
74 years old. I think he had a pretty good major league career. I mean, he got a world championship as a player. He gets a world championship as a manager. I mean, baseball's been his whole life. So, I mean, you know, he needs a break. And, you know, baseball's been very, very good to Dusty Baker. And
I remember
just watching Dusty Baker play, because that was during my time. So I was always impressed with him. I know he played for the hated Dodgers, but, you know, the man was a good baseball player and a good manager.
Hated so. Dodgers? Oh, geez, you're lucky Angela isn't home.
Name the teams he played for. One of them is the Dodgers.
Well, yeah, and he played for the Atlanta Braves. I know that.
Right. So, I mean, but who did he win the World Series with?
Oh, as a player, he won the World Series with the Dodgers.
Right, exactly. That's how I remember him. I don't remember him with the Braves, because when he was playing with the Braves stunk.
Yeah, I was about to say early 70s. And, yeah, I mean, you know, he was – Hank Aaron's protege, and of course he goes on and plays for those great Dodger teams, and they finally win it all in 81, and he gets his ring as a player. So there you go. All right.
Who'd they beat in 81?
Your Yankees.
New York Yankees. Okay. But I never held it against them. Never held it against them. All right, quickly, we got to go to the other side, the NLCS. I mean, I got to tell you right now, was this a comeback or was this a choke, as they've been talking on the radio all day? It's a comeback. This is a team that was not supposed to be there. This is a team that everybody should jump on the bandwagon, because it's a Cinderella story. And here's a team that plays small ball, that manufactures runs, not like the good old Philadelphia Phillies, who got Schwarber on second base in the fifth or sixth inning down a run, and he stands there with no outs, doesn't score.
You
could have bunted him over. I mean, just, you know, Thompson, oh, he's a great manager for the Phillies, okay? You could have bunted him over, and you would have had a shot.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, especially bunting Schwarber over. I mean, you know for a fact Kyle Schwarber can't run. I know for a fact
but
he can't
run. But come on, Turner was up next. The first – and I watched the whole game like you did. The first pitch, he attempted the bunt and pulled the back bat. Why not keep on doing it? Push it over to the right side. For the people that don't know where the right side is, that's the first base side. Push it over to the right side from the plate I'm talking about, and you get him over to third base. They would have never got him. And Turner's
– Yeah, that was a – Well, yeah, absolutely, and that's what kind of frustrated with me. I mean, that fifth inning absolutely killed them. They got a little bit of momentum. They get the big homer from Alec Bohm, and they're back in this thing. And you think, okay, here come the Phillies. The bats are going to do it again. They couldn't convert. That was solid pitching up and down. And, I mean, that Arizona bullpen has been so unheralded. That's a young bullpen out there. And with the exception of, you know, closer Paul Sewald, who's been in the game for a while, former Savannah Sandnet, by the way. And just they absolutely couldn't convert. And I mean, Bryce Harper was so close to launching one. He just missed one from tying it up.
But
and
you
I mean,
just said it. It was long ball or nothing, as we say in New York. They had nothing going except for the long ball. And
and that's what killed them. And I was shocked by the at-bats in the middle of that lineup. I thought Turner would at least find a way to get him over. But I felt like everybody was trying to launch. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, with, especially with Kyle Schwarber there, if you take a chance at bunting him over with zero – with no outs. I think Rob Thompson was really thinking, okay, these guys have been there the whole time. We're going to find a way to get a base hit here so we don't have to sacrifice any outs. That gamble failed. You want to look at it any way you want as a choke or whatever, but ultimately Arizona, they held serve the entire game. Merrill Kelly did his job, and, man, he was ticked off at coming out of the game. But then you get guys like, you know, Kevin Ginkle, Paul Sewald coming in to seal the deal, and before you knew it, it was game over. Phillies couldn't come back after tying it up at 2-2, and they had a shot. Obviously, you know, Harper just missed it with that deep fly ball to center. But perseverance, the small ball, they did the job. And, I mean, Corbin Carroll was a one-man wrecking crew. I mean, after really kind of struggling a little bit in the playoffs, you know, he found a way to do the job. And, I mean, they have two first-class starters in Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. I've been saying this for the last month. Those guys are not to be trifled with.
How about Marte?
Ketel Marte, 16-game hitting streak. That is the longest. Yeah, 16 games in a row. That's the longest postseason hitting streak since former Brave Marquise Grissom, go back to 95 and 96, doing the job. And, of course, he deserves, you know, as well as, you know, Carroll has played throughout the season. He's your odds-on rookie of the year. Ketel Marte has been a beast, playing a really good second base. But, yeah, you look at it. I mean, throughout the postseason here, I mean, he is absolutely just crushing it right now. He had 387 for this series, had a couple of big doubles, had a major triple, and, you know, found a way to knock in three. And, of course, Arizona really found a way to manufacture runs, like you were saying. They were stealing a lot of bases for a team that didn't steal a whole lot last year.
At the end, they were stealing a lot of bases. Early on in this series, they were doing nothing. I mean, you know, Philadelphia.
I should have prefaced that. Right. I should have prefaced that. Yeah, I meant the regular season, they were stealing.
Castellanos, whatever your name is, said that's two.
Castellanos.
Right. Okay. He did nothing after the second game. Who was the
other? No, he really didn't.
Who was the other player that really? I feel bad. I mean, he had a great season, but he didn't do anything. Outfielder. Come on, give me a name. Starts with an R. Rojas.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, Rojas fell off considerably. I mean, considerably?
He was an out anytime he got up to the plate.
And that's just it. Yeah, I mean, he's your number nine hitter. And, yeah, you were looking for – he was not expected to do much other than – I mean, he's got some speed. But, I mean, he was an automatic out. I saw it the entire series.
He came up in a lot of big spots, and Thompson didn't pinch hit for him or replace him. And that's another thing that I feel why you know, the good old coach from Arizona, what's his name again? The manager.
Oh, Torey Lovullo. I mean,
I'm not going to mess up his name, okay? He out-coached Thompson.
He's
so
Italian.
Much.
You should get that.
You know me. I butcher names. just like Kyle Lawson. I can't butcher that. It's easy enough for me. As long as I can have enough Kyle Lawsons, I'm all right, okay? So, but anyway, he got outmanaged, outcoached, outmanaged. And that was another difference in the ball game, if you ask me.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that for sure. Torrey Lobello is he's a really good field manager. He has proven that. I mean, you get a guy that, you know, he was pretty much a career minor leaguer. And remember I mentioned last, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but yeah, him and Rob Thompson, they were minor league teammates. I did mention that last week, actually.
Yes, you did.
But no, I mean, he did the job. He took advantage, and they did the little things right there, a really strong defensive team. They didn't make any mistakes, and they found a way to come up big hits. Philadelphia really thought they were able to get it done with the long ball. I mean, it went away from them right there. And I mean, Arizona took full advantage. I'm still shocked that they're on this incredible heater right there. And a six seed for the second year in a row finds its way to the World Series.
Hey, that's what happens. That's when, you know, and I know we love
that's called baseball. There you go.
We love the playoff format, but what I feel the playoff format, should start. And I know it's all about the money, but it should start with the wild card teams playing a one-game playoff.
They were already doing that.
No, they're not doing that. They're playing best two out of three.
They've done that. No, but they've done that before. It started with that.
But that's the way it should go back to make it to give the teams that work their butt off all season long to win all these games to have a better chance at winning. I mean, yeah, wild card team deserves a shot, but it's a wild card team. Wild card, one game you're in, just like a NCAA basketball tournament. All those tournaments, you got to play one game to get in. And that's the way it should be, I feel. Not just give them two out of three where they can upset the team. And I know you should be ready to play after you have a week off. But there's got to be something advantageous to being the best team in baseball or having the best records in baseball going into the playoffs. You shouldn't have to be sitting there waiting and twiddling your thumbs while these teams are still getting consistent hits, consistent at-bats, consistent pitches. That's the way I feel. I mean, I love it, and I love having all these teams, but I think it should be a one-game playoff.
And you know what? I mean, I can. A lot of people agree with you on that. The verdict is still out for me on that. I've enjoyed this very much, and I mean, it's a new season when you get into the playoffs. It's been proven time and again. I mean, you think about it. This is the eighth time in the wild card era that a wild card team has advanced to the World Series with a chance to win the whole thing. Bottom line, and they may tinker with this. The rule changes are in baseball right now, I think they've loosened up a little bit, and they may consider tweaking this as far as the format. I don't know if you go back to that one game that you want to see, but you may see something a little bit different. I'm fine with it right now, but I get it. I totally respect that.
All right, we'll catch up on this on another day. Okay, so we have
another show.
Texas Rangers, and we have the Arizona Diamondbacks going into the World Series. Once again, you're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, brought to you by the Coach's Corner Sports Network, where it's been all sports, all music, all fun, all food since when?
1991.
And don't forget, they have the music back out in the Soundgarden this Friday night, October 27th at 7 o'clock. You have a double feature tribute extravaganza. You got Departure, which is who there, buddy?
That would be the eminent tribute band to Journey.
And then Back in Black, which is?
AC/DC, one of the best around.
So check it out. Go to eventbrite.com. Get your tickets. That's Friday night because Saturday is Georgia, Florida, the biggest hate game in the world and the biggest cocktail party in the world. So there's not going to be no music at Coach's Corner on Saturday. All right, inning number two.
No.
Inning number two, we spent a lot of time on inning number one, okay? We're talking about the teams in the 2023 World Series. You got the Arizona Diamondbacks, and you got the Texas Rangers. So my first question to throw at you, which team has the better pitching staff and why?
Okay, I mean, honestly, we've already talked about Arizona a little bit. You got Zach Gallen, and you got Merrill Kelly. And then you look over at the Rangers, they have their two guns, in Jordan Montgomery and Nathan Eovaldi. Potentially, both of these staffs can start their one and two twice. gets a little dicey after that. So Montgomery's been hot. Gallen, so not so much. But the Rangers have a little bit more opportunities, you know, to fit in more guys for their starting rotation. They got Dane Dunning. They got Josh Gray. They got Andrew Heaney, guys that can fill in, you know, if you needed, you know, like, let's say a game three or a game five starter. But you don't see a lot of options for Arizona beyond their one and two guys that I've named. Not really a lot of options in that rotation. Of course, Brandon Fott went out there, another rookie who had a really rough, you know, start to the year. I mean, the Cubs, I mean, down the stretch, we played him. He dominated us. He figured out some things after getting absolutely tattooed earlier in the season. And, you know, that's where it gets a little bit tough for Arizona, where I think it's going to – sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. So who are you going to give the starting pitching to?
Oh, the starting pitching goes to the Rangers, no doubt about it, because they have a plethora of options. I know you love that word too. And I really trust Jordan Montgomery, Nathan Eovaldi. And that's tough to say because Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly have been absolutely terrific this entire season.
Who are you giving the bullpen to?
Oh, Arizona, no doubt. They've proven that. Paul Sewald, Kevin Ginkle, Ryan Thompson, you know, Brandon Fott, he's actually fit in. And a guy whose name I just love to say is Jeff Mantiply. That's a fun name to say. So overall, I'm giving the bullpen to Arizona.
All right. So you got starting pitching, Texas, bullpen to Arizona. So which one has the better pitching staff going into the series?
I trust Texas in this case. I'm still sticking with Montgomery and Eovaldi, and the fact that you can add in, you know, Heaney, Gray, and Dunning at any time. Jose Leclerc has been a really solid closer. He's been trustworthy. That's really the only trustworthy arm that I really have for the Rangers right now. But, I mean, geez, they could even still roll out, you know, Mad Max. He's willing to come out of the bullpen if you need him.
All right. Let's go to hitting. Three pitches now I'm going to throw at you. They're all coming at you straight down the plate. Which team do you give the advantage in terms of power and speed in this lineup?
Okay.
Let me come back. I went too fast.
Preface that, please.
I wrote these questions today. Which team has the better balance of power and speed in its lineup? You going with the young guns or you going with the old guys?
Honestly, I mean, and the thing is, it's like not even a terribly – they're both fairly young teams that have depth right there. Arizona has more speed, but power 1 through 9, I'm going Rangers. No doubt about it.
Okay. So which team, okay, which is big to me, is a better situational hitting team versus a long ball team?
I'm still kind of sticking with Texas on this. I mean, they've had some clutch hits from two of their big rookies. I mean, you got Evan Carter and Josh Young, you know, at third base right there. I mean, Evan Carter doing a great job in left field. And you're going to get power from Adolis Garcia, who's on an absolute heater. And then you got Corey Seager. Marcus Semien struggled a little bit at the plate, but they've certainly been getting a lot of power from the middle of that lineup. It's a tough one. I'm still going Texas on this because I really feel like Texas is the better club.
All right.
Even with how well Ketel Marte has been hitting.
Last pitch now. So then overall, who has the best offense, the more potent offense? The way you're leaning, you're saying Texas.
Yes, no doubt about it. Rangers, I'm going for it right now. Yeah. What you got?
I agree with you fully, okay? All right, so the last part, okay? So we talk pitching, we talk hitting. But games are also won in baseball by playing defense, okay? All right, let's start with the infield. Who has the better infield, the Diamondbacks or the Rangers?
Yikes. Okay, that's tough because they're very evenly matched. I mean, you got Corey Seager at shortstop. Josh Young has been an absolute monster at third base. It gets a little interesting. I mean, and honestly, right field is such a toss of the coin.
We didn't go to the outfield yet. We're staying in the
infield. Okay, we're starting infield. I'm sorry. I'm jumping the gun here. I'll take an E on that one. I'm actually going to go with Arizona because I like Gabriel Moreno has got an absolute rifle, and you have the best defensive first baseman that's currently playing in this playoffs right now in Christian Walker. Ketel Marte, he's a solid defender, but you got those three options right there. I'm defensively, I really like that with the option of Gabriel Moreno being able to gun guys out at second base.
All right. So the shortstop, you're going to give it to the Rangers?
I'm going to give it to Corey Seager over Gerardo Perdomo.
Okay. But so overall, you're going Diamondbacks. I would say, but for me, just looking at all the stats, it's a toss-up. I mean,
it is.
Either way, the teams are consistent. And like you said, catching is both pretty much even. So defensively, I would say even. Okay. So now we got to go out to the fences. Outfielders, who has the better outfield?
As of right now, I mean, as much as I've enjoyed watching Lourdes Gurriel Jr. play left field,
yes,
I like Evan Carter right now. You got to go with the hot hand right now for the Rangers. And you look at it in center field. Leody Taveras has had a really strong season out there in center, really unheralded player. Adolis Garcia, I mean, you know what he can do with his bat. He's solid out there. Corbin Carroll gives you the speed. He's really the only player that I think is maybe a little bit better defensively than Adolis right now. I'm going with the Rangers defensively. That outfield is strong.
So now we got a toss-up here. So overall, this is the last pitch. Who's got the better outfield?
I think I just told you. I mean, I still believe it's the Rangers.
Sorry, my fault. Error number three tonight. Okay. I'm really having a hard time tonight here. Okay.
Hey, we both work long days. We're doing this.
I wrote these questions. Which team has the better defense overall? That's what I meant to say.
Ah, okay. This is a close one right there.
You're leaning to Texas. I would say Texas has the better overall defense, if you ask me.
Defensively right now, I mean, just based on everything I've seen, you have some guys that are really talented on both sides. I give the catching – obviously, I give it to Arizona with there, but one through nine defensively, I got to go Rangers on this. I just feel they are the stronger team. They're more experienced, and they've got some rookies doing some incredible things in the postseason.
All right, so here we go. This is it right here before we get into inning number three. All right, I'll let you go first because you are the baseball fanatic. All right, what's your choice in how many games? To be the
Rangers in
2023 World Series champion, Major League Baseball champion, is going to be for the baseball fanatic, the Texas Rangers.
Yes.
I just love the Diamondback stories. I really do. I just love the Diamondback story. I know, you know, like you've been talking about, the Texas lineup is unbelievable. You make a mistake, they could punish you. But the Diamondbacks posted a whip of 1.27 in the playoffs. And, you know, I know the hitters are only batting. Here's all the stats I put together: 237 against the Arizona Diamondbacks pitching staff. I'm gonna be the Cinderella man. Okay, I'm gonna go with the Cinderella story. I'm gonna go with the Diamondbacks in seven because I know how much you love more baseball.
That's right. I went Rangers in six, but honestly, I mean, this is a coin toss, and two teams that really don't know a whole lot about each other, really. You know, not really facing each other throughout the year. So I could see both things happen. I still think Texas is going to find a way to actually put this thing away. I think it's going to be six games because you know what great pitching Arizona has at the top of their lineup. But I think the offense is going to prevail, and they're going to get just enough starting pitching from Montgomery and Eovaldi to seal the deal. We'll find out what's going on next week, and we'll break it all down.
Yep, that's what we'll do. So it's the coach with Arizona in seven, just because I love the Cinderella story, and I love the younger team, and, you know, Corbin Carroll?
Corbin Carroll, yeah, phenomenal. Unbelievable player. Great right fielder, slugger, speedy.
That's where we're going to go. We'll see what happens. So, we're going to have to wait. We won't be back for a while. We won't be doing this till the week of Monday, November 6th, so we got about a week and a half to watch these games before we come back on with the last podcast.
Yeah, we got a hot minute right there. Yeah, I'm going to be traveling, and yeah, we'll be able to – we'll do it then. Yeah, we got a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, so and whoever wins, whoever chooses, owes the other guy adult beverage. That's all I got to say.
That sounds good. I'll buy you some wings, too.
Yeah, Coach Scorner with a little bit of wings and a little of our favorite pepperoni pizza. You know what I mean?
We got a routine. We get wings. We get pie. Maybe we'll have an adult beverage. I'm probably going to be drinking Diet Coke because I'm driving, but we'll see.
All right. So once again, we got to plug again because it's one of the last two shows. Don't forget this is brought to you by Coach's Corner because it's part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network where it's all sports, all music, all fun, all food. Since when?
1991.
And we still got music going out in the Soundgarden. Don't forget, though, no Soundgarden music on Saturday because we got the biggest cocktail party in Florida going on. But don't forget, Friday night, we got a doubleheader. We can call this a doubleheader, not a double extravaganza. It's a doubleheader, like the great Ernie Banks used to say, let's play two. You got Departure, Back in Black. Okay, they're playing together. You got Journey, you got AC/DC. Get out there. The following Friday, hey, you got to get out there some Freebird. We don't do the cigarette lighters anymore. We do our phones. We turn the light on and we go wave back and forth. The Ultimate Skinhead Band, you got to love that. And on Friday, November 17th, Slippery When Wet, the Ultimate Bon Jovi Group. So there you go. We'll do this one more time. I'll repeat it at the end of the show. Get it to eventbrite.com. Get your tickets. Nothing on Saturdays because we know Saturdays is football. All right. So here we go, Mr. Fanatic. Trivia time. The coach has six wins. Boy. Inning number three. The Fanatic has five. We've tied four times. It's been a close all year long. All right. I went first last year, last week, not last year. I've always been last every year, but I went first last week. So it's your turn to go first. All right. So here are my trivia questions. And if you don't win this, I don't know what to tell you. So we'll start because I always pick a theme. And this will give you a little heads up. You know what I'm picking, the World Series. Okay. Mm-hmm. So question number one, which player has the most World Series championships of all time?
Oh, most World Series champions as a player.
As a player, I guess as a manager too.
Oi. Okay. I'm going to go Yogi Berra.
Okay, he has more rings than Tom Brady. Can you tell me how many rings? You got the question right, so you scored a run. How many rings does he have?
I think he's got nine.
Ten.
I knew it was close. All right.
So it's 1-0 the Fanatic, okay? Bottom of the inning, the coach is up. Go right ahead.
All right. Bruce Bochy has managed three teams to the World Series. Can you name me the teams?
Oh, man. Texas Rangers.
Okay.
San Diego Padres. And the San Francisco Giants.
Okay, well done. All right, somebody's been paying attention. All right, we're all tied up.
Before we get to the next question, do you know he's been sitting out for 3 years and the Rangers called him back to come this year? He was coaching Little League Baseball.
Yeah, he was just chilling out like, hey, I got my grandkids, you know, we just got that deep voice, no big deal. Sure, I'll now, come coach the Rangers, now, why
they're,
not?
They're comparing him to Joe Torre, so go ahead.
Okay, so.
Inning number two.
Can you name me? Yeah, okay, inning number two. All right.
No, no, you go name me the last. No. You're up. I go last. I'm the home team.
Oh, my God. Why do we do? We've been doing this for 6 years, and I still screw it up. Go ahead.
Which team has the longest World Series drought, has never been to the World Series in Major League Baseball?
Longest drought. Has never been to the dance. Seattle Mariners.
You got it.
Yep.
So you're up 2-1. Okay.
Can you name me the last time two teams from the AL West and the NL West faced off in the World Series? And it's been a minute. I'm going to think back a little bit, but not too far back. I remember this World Series vividly. Actually, I remember all of them vividly, ones I was alive for.
The AL West and the NL West.
Yeah, two Western. Yeah, so I'm not going to say West Coast, but yeah, because we got
division.
Yeah, what? Yeah, AL West and NL West. There you go. Oh. This is a wild one. I think it was in Las Vegas. Watch this.
You were in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, I was just hanging out. I can't tell you. I can't tell you how old I was because that'll give it away.
Two Western Division teams that played. Is it before they switched the divisions?
No, it isn't actually.
Uh, I don't know, Houston and Los Angeles. I have no idea.
Yeah, that never actually happened. It was 2002 when the Giants took on the LA Angels.
2002. Wow. Whew. I wouldn't have got that.
I had just turned 20. So how about, you know, hanging out in Las Vegas with your parents? You can't do anything because you're 20. There you go.
And what better way than to the end of the season in 2 weeks when it's 6 wins for me, 6 wins for you, 4 ties. It's going to come down to who's going to get that white flag. So right now it goes back to the Lawson estate. Okay, so I got to ship it over to you. But all right, let's get out of here. Once again, we
rumbling,
hope you
bumbling,
enjoy
stumbling.
It. Say a prayer for everything that's going on in this crazy world. Hopefully we took your mind off for about 40 minutes. Once again, we'll be on one more time. That's November, around November 6th or 7th, to wrap up the whole season. I got the Diamondbacks. He's got the Rangers. Should be a lot of fun. Enjoy it. So remember, Kyle, whatever you're doing today or tomorrow, what are you going to do?
Always hit it out of the park.
And until next week, what are we going to do? Well, until about 10 days from now, what are we going to do? Or what should
until
it be?
Until we see you next, or what should it be? It should be your best week.
All right, a little tongue-tied tonight, people, but I'm glad you – hopefully you enjoyed it. Once again, check it out. And as like we always say, always play ball.
See you next time, Coach.
I know. You got to go pack. I'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
See ya.